Well, good afternoon. Welcome to another daily devotion. It's great to actually have the stream working today. And it's great to be able to pause this afternoon and open up God's word and see what he has to say. Well, before we turn to our passage for this afternoon, let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for your love for us. We thank you for your care and concern. Thank you that it's Saturday and that means tomorrow is the Lord's day where we can go and worship you. We pray, Lord, that you'd give us eyes to see some beautiful things in your word today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, if you've got your Bibles, we're turning to Revelation 8. If you're tuning in for the first time, we've been working our way through the New Testament. We find ourselves in the book of Revelation, and we're talking about trumpets. Revelation 8, verse 6 to 12. Now, the seven angels who had the seven trumpets prepared to blow them. The first angel blew his trumpet, and there followed hail and fire mixed with blood, and these were thrown down upon the earth. And a third of the earth was burned up, and a third of the trees were burned up, and all green grass was burned up. The second angel blew his trumpet, and something like a great mountain burning with fire was thrown into the sea. And a third of the sea became blood, a third of the living creatures in the sea died, and a third of the ships were destroyed. The third angel blew his trumpet, and a great star fell from heaven, blazing like a torch, and it fell on a third of the rivers and on the springs of water. The name of the star is Wormwood. A third of the waters became wormwood, and many people died from the water because it had been made bitter. The fourth angel blew his trumpet, and a third of the sun was struck, and a third of the moon, and a third of the stars, so that a third of their light might be darkened, and a third of the day might be kept from shining, and likewise a third of the night. Well, what's the purpose of a trumpet? I'm not thinking a musical trumpet, but you think about a trumpet for war or an old school trumpet. There was always a purpose for the trumpet, wasn't there? The point of the trumpet was to warn. So I think of in The Lord of the Rings, if you've watched the movies or if you've read the books, in Lord of the Rings, there's that moment where Boromir blows his horn. He blows his trumpet really loudly because he's under attack. And the sound of the trumpet alerts all of his allies to his place. And it lets them know that there's trouble at hand, and they rush to try and save him. And that's the purpose of a horn or a trumpet, isn't it? It's to warn. Now, of course, it does other things too, but one of the big things it does is it warns of impending danger. It warns of battles to come. So you think about the watchman on a city wall. He would have his trumpet or horn with him. And if an enemy was attacking, he would be responsible to let everybody know by blowing his trumpet. Well, there's a sense in which that the trumpets we have before us, in the seven trumpets, they function in a similar way. You see, John, he sees trumpets of wrath functioning as warnings. Now, they do two things, which we're going to see, but one of the things they do is they function as a warning of the judgment to come. You see, John uses Old Testament imagery to describe what he sees. And we've talked about this before. He's so overwhelmingly filled with Old Testament scriptures that as he goes to describe what he's seeing, he describes it with Old Testament language. And here in these seven trumpets, in these trumpets, he picks up the language of the Exodus. He picks up the language of the Exodus and the plagues on Egypt in order to describe and warn of the judgment of God upon the earth. So, let me show you this, looking at the first four trumpets today. So, the first trumpet we saw in chapter 9, which was verse 22 to 25. Sorry. Let me say that again. It's in Exodus. That's where we're about to talk about. In chapter 8, verse 7, the first angel blows his trumpet, and there followed hail and fire mixed with blood, and these were thrown upon the earth. And of course, if you understand and if you remember the plagues of the Old Testament in Egypt, one of them was the plague of hail, wasn't it? Exodus 9, verse 22 to 25. And hail falls upon the earth and crushes the trees and the grass and the wheat and does damage so that there's no produce. Then, trumpet 2 and 3, have a look at chapter 8, verse 8. The second blew his trumpet, and something great like a mountain was thrown into the sea, and the sea becomes blood. And then, verse 10, the third angel blows his trumpet, and the star falls down, and the water is affected again. It becomes like wormwood, which is bitter. So, the water gets tainted, and of course you think back to Egypt, and of course, what happens? God turns the water into blood, doesn't he? And then you get to the fourth trumpet, and the fourth angel, verse 12, he blows his trumpet, and what happens? The sun, the moon, and the stars are darkened and can't give off their full light anymore. Of course, it reminds us what? Exodus 10, when you get the plague of darkness, when the light is cut off from the people of Egypt. And so John is using Old Testament imagery to explain the reality of the judgment of God. Now think for a second. What was the purpose of the plagues that God unleashed upon Egypt? There were two purposes. There was sort of like the primary purpose and the secondary purpose. The primary purpose was that God wanted to display his power to the people of Egypt, particularly to Pharaoh, to display his power and authority and to show that Yahweh is the true God, in order to glorify himself, in order that everyone would know that he is God, he does these plagues. And so he says to Moses that he will harden Pharaoh's heart so that he will be able to display in him his wonders. So that's the primary focus. But what was the secondary focus of the plagues? The secondary focus, of course, was to lead the people out and to warn the Egyptians of the wrath of God. So you think about it. Moses turns up every time and he says, if you don't let the people go, this is what's going to happen. And every plague gets scarier and scarier. Every plague threatens more damage and more danger. And every plague, as it goes out to the people, is threatening and warning of further judgment and further wrath to come. And so the effect that was intended to bring, just setting aside the reality of God's sovereignty and hardening of hearts, the intended purpose of that warning was to cause people to turn to God, to repent, to change their ways, and to let the Israelites go. Now, take that logic, take that understanding, and apply it to our passage here. What is the purpose of a trumpet? The purpose of a trumpet is to warn. And so here, what John sees is the warning of judgment, the warning of the wrath of God. But what's the primary purpose? Just like in the book of Exodus, the primary purpose of these judgments, the primary purpose of these trumpets is to display the authority and the wrath and the judgment of God. It's to show that Jesus Christ, not just the God of the Old Testament, but Jesus, the Lamb who is seated upon the throne, has all authority over the nations to bring the same type of judgment that Yahweh brought upon Egypt in the Old Testament. And so for the first century reader who's struggling with an emperor who's controlling the church, or I should say an emperor who's trying to crush the church, outpourings of persecutions in different areas, the first century reader would be able to read this and go, that's right, Jesus Christ has the same power and authority that Yahweh has. The same power and authority that God displayed in the Old Testament against Egypt. And if he conquered them, he will conquer again. The church will never be overthrown, they could say. Because Jesus Christ is upon the throne. Because Jesus holds the judgment of God in his hands. And this would prove to be a great encouragement to the people. This would prove to be a great encouragement, or I should say, it should prove to be a great encouragement to you and I. You see, there's lots of questionable things going around in our societies. We can look ahead with great concern about what might happen to the church in the West. We can look at countries where the church has declined rapidly and greatly in the West, where churches are being turned into mosques and bicycle parks. And yet, Jesus has all authority to judge. Jesus is Lord over all creation. He has the power and the authority to bring the judgment of God. And so we as a church can find great comfort that no matter what comes, Jesus Christ is in control. God is still seated upon the throne. But there's a second reality, isn't there? It's not just the authority and control and power of God. It's also the reality of a warning, isn't it? And that same warning that was seen in the Old Testament in Egypt, that same warning is at play in this passage. You see, there's that sense in which God is saying, beware of the trumpets, beware of the judgment to come. Because what we see is an all-powerful, omnipotent, controlling, all-perfect, holy God who will judge the wicked people. But, remember that beautiful Old Testament passage, he is slow to anger. He is slow to anger. He is compassionate. He is merciful. And his love, his steadfast love, endures forever. And so, bound up in this ability and authority to judge is the mercy of God on display, where he says, one day it will come, but I am withholding my hand of judgment. My hand of judgment, my trumpet is warning you of it, but it has not yet come. And so the call, of course, is to repent. The call is to repent and turn and live. It's the same message. It's the same message, isn't it? And so the church could take up this call. The church should take up this call today and proclaim that the mercy of God endures forever. You know, the beautiful part I love about the story of the Exodus is that moment when Israel leaves, and the scriptures tell us that some of the Egyptians, some of the aliens followed them. Some of the aliens went with them and traveled with them into the wilderness. And we must pray that before these judgments come, that just like you and I, God, in his mercy and love, would call the aliens of the world to come into the church of Jesus Christ. You know, we can find great comfort in these passages because we know who's the king. But most of all, it should spur us on to an urgency to proclaim the gospel. Because Jesus Christ is merciful, God is merciful, but he will not extend his mercy to the world forever. A day of judgment will come one day. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for your word, and we pray that as we continue to work through Revelation, that you would indeed inspire our hearts to gospel-motivated proclamation of your mercy. We thank you that you are seated upon the throne. Help us to find great comfort in that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, thanks so much for tuning in with me again. It's great to be able to open up God's word, and I hope you have a wonderful weekend and enjoy the Lord's Day tomorrow. I will see you back here Tuesday, same place, same time. Have a most splendid Lord's Day.